Ladies and gentlemen, live from the West Coast, it's time for Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Your inside look into combat sports, brought to you by the WBO, the World Boxing Organization.
Pedro, let me say congratulations on your long time in radio, you and your team, and for your ratings, man. I was reading about that. I'm very impressed with you, Pedro.
And now, the host of the longest running fight show in radio and internet history.
I don't want to predict this fight, but, you know, I'm going to promise that I can give a good fight, you know, to make people happy, and I just do my best.
Pedro Fernandez.
If I can't teach you one way, I'll teach you another, but I'm going to get the job done.
Damas y caballeros, bienvenidos, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the multi-million dollar Sports Byline Studios in San Francisco, California for another edition of Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Check it, 36, make that almost 37 years now. I'm knocking out albums, often imitated but never duplicated. Welcome to the longest running fight show in history, Ring Talk Live Worldwide. My name is Pedro Fernandez. In this hour of Ring Talk Live Worldwide, we'll check in with Danny Dubois, of course, a heavyweight from the UK, a winner yesterday. Of course, a guy that's supposedly maybe a pretender, maybe a contender. We'll hear from him. He's unbeaten. He's going to take on Joe Joyce, who's definitely a pretender, no doubt about that, when his eyes hook it up in the Battle of the UK. We'll hear from him. We'll hear from, of course, the man. I call him the man. Vasyl Lomachenko, 135-pound world champion in the minds of many. Of course, there's also Teofimo Lopez, undefeated kid from Brooklyn, New York. The Rage, of course, the new edition of boxing. That's what I call him, the new edition, because he's coming along. He's got an attitude. He's got a style. He can punch. He can fight. I think he's got the confidence. And, of course, I'm picking him to beat Lomachenko, a 3.5-to-1 favorite. My best friend, Hector Martinez, is picking Lomachenko to win. So bottom line is there's some money on the line in this, as far as this fight's concerned. But we'll hear from both those guys. And we're not done. Maybe we'll spend some time with one more guest. I'm talking about Muhammad Ali, talking about racism and equality and integration in the United States. And that was, of course, in 1974. Straight up, Ring Talk Live Worldwide is a production of Sports Byline. Stay tuned as Ring Talk takes on the world of boxing and MMA for the next hour live on Sports Byline.
Now, let's listen.
Clarity in the world of professional boxing is spelled WBO. That's right, the World Boxing Organization is boxing's only transparent sanctioned body. You can follow the WBO on Facebook or check out their website, WBOboxing.com. That's WBOboxing.com. The World Boxing Organization.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
Weekend boxing results. ESPN had it going on last night. The WBC and WBO Junior Welterweight Championship on the line with Jose Ramirez still 26, now 26 and zip 17 KOs. A majority decision winner. That's right, a majority decision winner. In other words, bottom line is he won on two of the scorecards. And one of the scorecards called it 114-114 even. One judge had it, that means 6-6 in rounds. One judge had it 115-113, which means 7-5 in rounds. Another judge, Steve Weissel from New York, he had it 116-112 or 8-4 in rounds. I didn't think Ramirez won that going away 8-4 in rounds. But the bottom line is, you know, Victor Postol had his moments there. He's 31-3 now with 12 KOs. But, you know, when you go into a fight and you're the underdog and the other guy's got a little bit more pop, a little more power, this thing, you have to do something to offset that. You have to find some way to impose your will. You have to hurt somebody. You just have to find a way to do it. And if you don't punch hard, you've got to punch in combination. You've got to throw them off. And, of course, you know, I want to say Postol last night was in the fight. He was in the fight, but he didn't do enough, especially in the early on. In other words, you take it to a guy. The guy's been off 13 months. I'm talking about the champion. He's been off 13 months, Ramirez. Okay, you take it right to him. You take it to him. You see what he's got. But instead of taking it to him, he wanted to box. You go out there and see what he's got right away. Postol didn't do that in losing a majority decision, split majority. But the bottom line is he lost. And, of course, that is his second world title fight loss as far as 31-3 now, 12 KOs. Ramirez, once again, 26-0. 17 KOs. WBA champion Arizandi Lara, of course, the Cuban national. Of course, he wants to fight the Jermaine Charlo winner. Of course, Charlo is going to be in action in a few weeks, but he is a super welterweight WBA title holder. I mean, he's a 154-pounder. They call him the American Dream. Okay. 27-3 now, 3 draws, 15 KOs, a 12-round winner over number 11th-ranked Greg Vannetti, 22-4 with a draw and 12 KOs. That was at the Microsoft Theater in Los Angeles, California. That was, I believe, on Fox TV. It wasn't too exciting. It just wasn't. I don't know. I mean, you know, if you're going to put fights on, if you're going to fight, especially if you're a boxer, this is a good chance right now to there are people watching. The people are bored. They've got nothing else to do. There are people watching. This is your chance to go out there and stake your get your claim to fame. And guys aren't doing that. They're showing up in half-ass condition. I thought Ramirez was in half-ass condition there. I just thought he was. I don't think he came. I didn't think he was in great shape. At the end of the day, he was a winner, but he was like on the hair of his chinny chin chin. A fight that took place earlier in the week had a bit of excitement to it. Tim Zhu, the son of former world 140-pound champion. Koshizu was the only guy I think Oscar De La Hoya ever ducked. And I think that's the only guy Oscar De La Hoya ever ducked. He ducked him at 140 pounds. He took on Jeff Horn, the former champion, of course, that beat Manny Pacquiao a couple of years ago. Jeff Horn got thrashed. Most of the guys going into this fight, Jeff Fennec, some of the Australian so-called boxing experts, had, you know, Jeff Horn was going to destroy Tim Zhu. Tim Zhu pitched a shutout. More power to him. I think it was a TKO in about 6. So more power to him, no doubt about that. Now, we go across the pond for a heavyweight fight yesterday, of course, ESPN Plus. ESPN Plus, pretty good deal on the app. It's $5.99 if you've already had it, and I think they're upping it now to $9.99 if you haven't had it before. So, in other words, I think I'm locked in for another year at $5.99 because I jumped on this early on, but it's a real good deal, no doubt about that. And yesterday, ESPN, of course, put on Daniel Dubois, considered a heavyweight contender from the UK, no doubt about that. He can talk a little bit. He looks good. He's now 15-0, 14 KOs. Late-minute sub. Anytime a guy comes in as a late-minute sub, it's sort of like, you know, to be announced, TBA, no, it's to be annihilated. Guys that come in at the last minute sub hardly ever do well. And the bottom line is Ricardo Snyder's didn't do well at all. He got knocked out in the second round. He is now 18-2, 8 KOs. Here is the victor, Daniel Dubois.
Daniel Dubois, all week you've been promising a devastating performance. Is that what you had in mind?
Yeah, pretty much. I wanted to go in there and impress. And the only way I thought I could do that is by, you know, trying to take him out straight away. But I had to relax a bit, hold back a bit, and just box my way into it. And then I got the job done easily.
Well, you hadn't fought since December, the Fujimoto knockout.
Yeah.
So was there no idea of maybe, I'll get a few rounds in, make sure, you know, I've got some rounds before the Joyce fight, no?
No, you don't get paid for overtime in this game. And I was just, you know, on a mission, you know. I wanted to get rid of the cobwebs and get, you know, get back into it. And now I feel like I've done that. I need a step up now.
Well, it was all about the body shots, wasn't it? Did you intentionally just go after his body? You seemed to almost leave the head alone.
Yeah, I saw that he was pulling all back from the head, so I thought the body don't move, so go for that, you know. Target is there. And I just took it, and I gave him away with a victory and a good stoppage.
Happy with the shaking off the cobwebs?
Yeah, well, big time. It was just a little warm-up. I'm just getting into it. I'm just getting started, and there's plenty of more to come.
Joe Joyce was obviously watching on. They brought him on to BT. I think you've missed what he said. I've heard some of it. He said something about, oh, I wish he was fighting Fifers. And do you know what? I'd have done the same thing to Snyder, and actually maybe I'd have done it around earlier. What do you think?
Well, he's going to say something like that. You know, the guy was, you know, I knew in foregone conclusion I was going to win. So it was just about getting the ball rolling again, and getting in there, getting back in under the lights, bright lights, after all the training camp and everything, and getting a victory. So, it's not, but you know, if I have Joe next, then I'll be more than ready for him.
And you did just that. Daniel, congratulations.
Thank you. Thanks very much.
Daniel Dubois, still undefeated now. Good-looking fighter, no doubt about that condition. Now, I just talked about a last-minute sub showing up and, like, getting drilled as I normally do. I mean, like, 99.9% of the time, that's just the way it goes down, because the promoter's not going to bring in somebody tough like Scott Cuddy to beat your guy. You know what I'm saying? No. They're going to bring somebody soft. That didn't work out too well for Alfredo Angulo. Of course, they call him El Perro, which is dog. And he has dogged in a lot of fights, because this doesn't come in shape. I mean, 26-8 now, 21
KOs. A late-minute substitute. Get this guy's name. Vladimir Hernandez. Yeah, Vladimir Hernandez, now 12-4, 6 KOs, came in on the last day, the day before, in a super middleweight fight. Of course, supposed to be a 12-round, I think, with Caleb Plant for the 168-pound championship, but somehow Plant didn't make it regarding visas or COVID or something like that, and that fight was reduced. But the bottom line is Vladimir Hernandez won a decision going away over the dog. And guess who's back? Marco Huck, former cruiserweight champion of the WBO, now 42-5, with a draw and 28 KOs, not competing in the heavyweight division, which is not going to be a good thing for him. But he fought a real heavyweight. I mean, the guy was a heavyweight as far as weights were concerned. 335 pounds. Dennis Lewandowski. 13-5, now 6 KOs. I don't even want to describe his torso to you. It would just absolutely blow you away. I kid you not. I mean, the guy was, you want to talk about fat, you want to talk about obese, this guy was like Haystack Calhoun of boxing. I kid you not. This is the way it is. You're tuned to Ring Talk, live worldwide. You're inside looking to the world of boxing, MMA. Real quick text here.
Without a doubt, Dubois beats Joyce. I told you, Joyce can't fight. Joyce is not coordinated. Joyce can't put together punches. Joyce couldn't count to three. If you put the numbers down on a piece of paper, I don't think he can count to three. I don't think Joe Joyce, as far as throwing punches, 1-2-3, couldn't do it. Can't do it. Can barely throw 1-2s. And that second punch he was throwing, that right hand after the jab, it was the saddest looking right hand I've ever seen thrown by a so-called heavyweight contender or pretender for the past, maybe in existence. I kid you not. That's how bad he looked in that fight a few weeks ago. And people say, he was out of shape and he really didn't train for the fight. Well, it showed. And unless there's market improvement, Danny Dubois is going to knock him out. I mean, knock him into another world. You are tuned to Ring Talk, live worldwide. Check it. You're inside. Look at the world of boxing, MMA, of course. Coming to you live from the Sports Byline Studios here in San Francisco, California. This is the Sunday edition, 11 a.m. Pacific time, 2 hours live on Sports Byline, iHeartRadio, Sirius XM, Satellite Radio, the American Forces Network, and 1,000 other internet platforms. Bottom line is, you could be listening to this on iTunes or a podcast like at anchor.com. That's right, the Ring Talk Live Worldwide podcasts are all at anchor.com. You're tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide.
I got this.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
A fortnight ago, Teofimo Lopez was saying, there's not enough money in this Vasyl Lomachenko fight for me to do it. I want like $2 million. And what does Vasyl Lomachenko do? He gives up a portion of his change to make Teofimo Lopez happy. Bottom line is, they're going to duke it out, of course, October the 17th in Las Vegas. Vasyl Lomachenko, 14-1, considered pound for pound the best fighter in the world by a majority of boxing fans, I believe, and pundits as well, and experts per se. And of course, the kid Teofimo Lopez, the up-and-comer, of course, 15-0, 12 KOs. People think he's the real deal. Some people think he's going to be able to beat Lomachenko. The oddsmakers don't think so. It's a 3.5-point fight favoring the current world champion. I'm talking about Vasyl Lomachenko. ESPN, the top rank, does this preview of the fight that's going to take place October 17th.
Teofimo Lopez, whether you hate him, whether you like him, you're still going to watch him.
Why a lot of people talking about Teofimo Lopez?
He has never faced a fighter like me. Fast, quick, strong. I can hit too. Everybody knows that.
Wow! What a knockdown by Lopez!
Who is this guy? He never fought any real top fighters. Hey, Teofimo. What Teofimo?
Loma has been worthy of all the hype.
Everybody's gonna know who's the world champion. Everybody's gonna know once we meet Lomachenko's over.
We got a monster, baby. I told everybody.
Now he's a world champion, and welcome to my club.
Lomachenko, the fastest in history to become a three-division world champion.
Loma is on his way out. I'm on my way in. I might as well finish it the right way. Finish it with a bang.
And so it has begun. The biggest fight that the sport has been able to make since Wilder Fury 2 is now made, and the heated war of words clearly has begun. Who is this Teofimo Lopez, says Lomachenko. The two sensational lightweight champions, they will face off in a unification bout October 17th on ESPN. Vasily Lomachenko against Teofimo Lopez. Now, there is so much to unpack here, guys, including the business side of it, because headlining the fact that we now have this mega fight at 135 pounds is the fact that we're serving the fan, that this is on ESPN, that this is not pay-per-view, nearly unheard of in this day and age of the way the economics of the sport has gone for the better part of the last 20 years, that it is not going to be burdening the fans here in the midst of COVID, that they're not using pay-per-view as economic relief or a promotional crutch here. So that's well done by the fighters. It's well done by Top Rank and the network. It's what the public deserves. It's what the sport deserves to stay healthy right now. Mark, how did this fight finally get made?
Well, the notion that Lomachenko is generous enough that he just gave $250,000 over to Teofimo to make it happen is not true, according to multiple sources, including Teofimo himself, who calls it pure you-know-what. Egas Klimas, Lomachenko's manager, as of Tuesday evening, was thinking there's no way this fight's going to happen. He credits Bob Arum with stepping in. I do know there were certain cash considerations made toward Teofimo, including redoing his original contract that came out of the Olympics with, including upping some of his minimums. But I think that ultimately what really made this impossible not to happen was Teofimo's father, who was not in on the negotiations, who told his son last week, no matter what you do, do not mess up your chance for this fight because it will not come around again. And I think that in the end, that's what happened. He listened to his dad.
Well, say what you want about Senior, but he's almost been like a prophet when it comes to everything that's happened in the past 2 years. And he has said that this moment would happen. Dre, as for this moment, it is the huge upside moment for Lopez. And we have seen this script before in the history of the sport. But here it is, the young, brash power puncher getting his mega fight chance.
Well, for me, Joe, I'm less concerned about how the fight was made, and I'm just happy that it was made. I mean, tense negotiations, you know, it's commonplace for a fight of this magnitude. And you're right, we've had these watershed-type moments in the history of the sport from the beginning. Well, as you mentioned, a brash, relatively unproven at the highest level, confident potential star in Teofimo Lopez, challenging a modern-day great in Vasily Lomachenko, who I don't think Lomachenko is a big believer in Lopez. I don't think he's overly concerned about Lopez. And it's Lopez's job to make Lomachenko a believer. Lomachenko is special. We know that. We've seen that time and time again. We also believe that Lopez is special. The question is, how special? Come October of this year, he'll have the opportunity in front of the whole world to answer that question against Vasily Lomachenko.
But, Tim, it won't come in front of 20,000 fans or 30,000 fans. And if there's anything, Timmy, that we have learned about Teofimo Lopez is he is a guy who typically is fueled by playing off the crowd.
You know, Tess, you know, I haven't been no stranger in telling you who I'm picking. I'm picking the young gun. I believe he's here to shock the world. And just as you said, that his father has been a prophet. He has said this was exactly what's going to happen, and he has proven that, you know, that his son is one of the best fighters on the planet. I just believe in the young gun. I believe he has the speed. I believe he has the size. I believe he has the punching power. He has the timing, the IQ, the ring IQ to deal with the, I believe, fading Lomachenko. You know, now you got to look at Lomachenko's last performances. Okay, it wasn't, they weren't exciting like they were in the beginning where he was making guys quit. He's getting hit more than often now. He got hurt in the Campbell fight. He got hurt in the Linares fight. I understand he might have learned from those, but he still got hurt. I believe this is the young gun's time. I believe he's going to come in here. But my only concern, just as you said, there's not going to be 30,000, 20,000 people in there raving. This is a young man that gets fueled. He gets fueled off the energy of the crowd. He's going to have to find it within himself to get the job done and continue to win and to win this fight.
Lomachenko was very happy he got this fight. He told Egas Klimas, okay, now I can go fishing. It's clear why he's going to be the favorite with his resume, But remember, the history of boxing is the great young guy beats the great old guy. The big guy beats the smaller guy. He's on the wrong side of history. It's a considerable accomplishment. It would be a considerable accomplishment for him to get four belts. I remember the morning after Teofimo won the title, we went out to breakfast, and I said, come on, you guys really believe this stuff you're saying all these years about Lomachenko? He goes, look at me, Mark. Fighters know other fighters. I got this.
Well, he's confident, no doubt about that. The kid from Brooklyn, of course, going to hook it up October the 17th on ESPN or ESPN Plus. I'm talking about he and Vasyl Lomachenko. 14-1 is Lomachenko. Of course, lost that one fight to Orlando Salido, where he sort of got conned. It was a 126-pound WBO title fight, I believe, and Salido came in like at 130 pounds to begin with, so he was 4 pounds over, so the title was going to be on the line, and then he went out and gained about 12 more pounds, so he came in like 145 pounds, and he just sort of mugged the inexperienced Lomachenko and won the fight that way. Of course, they could fight 1,000 times, and Lomachenko would probably win 1,000 times, but that one night he wasn't winning. Checking out the boxing history, August 30th, 1899, man. Ray Arcel was born. Ray Arcel, of course, just like James Cagney, he was born on that day as well. But the bottom line is, Arcel, of course, was the man that was about in that Roberto Duran movie. He was a trainer. He was the guy that they hit over the head with a pipe. The mob tried to get to him. He wouldn't fix fights. They tried to beat him up and kill him with a pipe attack one time. Didn't happen. Bottom line is, he was born in this day, August 30th, 1899. I think he died at the age of like 94 or 95. Good old dude, no doubt about that. One of the true godfathers as far as training and legacies are concerned in the world of boxing. On the 27th of August, 1943, Sugar Ray Robinson beat Henry Armstrong. Of course, that was in New York City. It was a 10-round decision at the Cow Palace. August 29th, 1959. Wow, Gene Fulmer knocked out Carmen Basilio, my buddy. Carmen Basilio, remember she was on the show, told me I couldn't sing. Remember that time? Well, I knew I couldn't sing, but I tried to sing him happy birthday, and it didn't go over too well. I said, hey, kid, what'd you do with the money? I'm like, what do you mean with money? The money your mother gave you for singing lessons. You can't sing a lick. You couldn't hold a note if they put it in your pocket. Bottom line is he had a point there. But the bottom line was he was beaten on this day, the 29th, 1959 of August, at the Cow Palace where I fought. Good place, no doubt about that. It was a Cow Palace because they used to have rodeos there. That's why it's called the Cow Palace. Anyway, on the same day in 1963, Dick Tiger stopped Gene Fulmer in 7 rounds. That was in Lagos, Nigeria, for all the middleweight titles. Marlon Sterling was born on the 29th of August, 1958. Of course, he had a horrible nickname. He was called Moochie, and he hated it. He has no idea how he got this nickname. He was a magic man to most people, but he had this nickname, Moochie. And I was thinking about Marlon Sterling the other day because I saw his birthday coming up, and the fact that Mort Sharnick was his advisor. Mort Sharnick was this wonderful man, He was a CBS boxing coordinator. He was an advisor to Starling. He did a lot of things. There's no doubt about it. Historian of sorts. But Mort passed away, I think, in 2013 or 2014. But what a class act he was. But he took care of Marlon Starling, no doubt about that. Happy birthday, Marlon. 8-28-98. Ooh, sad day. William Joppy, TKO3. Roberto Duran in Las Vegas. I was there. I sat there. And, you know, I sort of knew that Duran wasn't in shape. He was soft. He was old. It was his last bid for a title, and he really wasn't ready. And Joppy, of course, was the guy that lost to Felix Trinidad the next time out. And I tried to tell Joppy was so hard-headed, folks, that he told me, I'm going to walk to Trinidad. And I said, no, don't do that. He said, why? I said, because Trinidad can punch. I said, you're better off just boxing him and making your move a little bit later. He goes, no, man, Pedro, I'm walking right across the ring. I'm walking. Right, I'm gonna show him who's the man. Well, he walked right across the ring and he got knocked out. You don't underestimate the power of Felix Tito Trinidad. Of course, probably, if not the great, is he the greatest Puerto Rican fighter of all time? I probably is. I would think he probably is. Maybe him or Wilfredo Gomez. I mean, toss it up there. Gomez was like at 122 pounds. Gomez was like 33-0 with like 32 knockouts and a draw. I kid you not. So he was a real deal. And speaking of Gomez, of course, the world 122-pound champion, the world 126-pound champion, and the world 130-pound champion is now 270 pounds. You are tuned to Ring Talk live worldwide.
I got this.
There ain't nothing. comes the decision now. Let's listen.
Clarity in the world of professional boxing is spelled WBO. That's right, the World Boxing Organization is boxing's only transparent sanctioned body. You can follow the WBO on Facebook or check out their website, WBOboxing.com. That's WBOboxing.com. The World Boxing Organization.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
No time to go down to the nightclub. None of the nightclubs are open. I mean, I'm working on Broadway here in the city by the bay. Of course, there's like all these hot strip clubs up the street where people used to come from all over Northern California to come to these strip clubs, right? Strip clubs have been closed for months, man. The street is like desert, like barren. And I just don't know that if any of these businesses are going to be able to bounce back. I kid you not, the world's changed forever. And I don't know if it's for the good. Bottom line is you're tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. You're inside looking at the world of boxing and MMA, of course. Well, the world's divided right now. We've got basically almost what amounts to a civil war here in the United States. We've got people I saw yesterday fighting each other in Florida, people pro-Trump people against anti-Trump people fighting in the streets. I mean, one guy pulled a gun on a guy. In other words, it's getting out of hand. There's no doubt about it. So, that being the case in 2020, I decided to go back to 1974 and see what Muhammad Ali had to say about racism in general.
Everything hangs out with its own. White people, cultures different from black people. Puerto Ricans and Indonesians cannot integrate. Egyptians and Germans cannot integrate. Australians and Mexicans cannot integrate. They have different foods. They have different music, different cultures. See, you white and I'm black. If white people have a party tonight and black people have a party, the party will be 100% different. The music. I go in a white restaurant. We integrate today, right? You go in a white restaurant, you got to look all day on the jukebox to find some music.
No. At our party, we'll have Aretha Franklin, Stevie Wonder.
Let me tell you now. If I go pale jukebox in a white restaurant, anybody black or tell you in here, you got to look all over that box for some black music. Hank Snow, Johnny Cash,
Josh White.
All kind of names I ain't never heard of. You know, when that train comes around that mountain. When that train comes. And that truck driver. So what I'm saying is, ain't nothing wrong with that music, but that fits the white culture. You go in our joints, oh, baby, don't leave. Oh, I cried all night. Who's that running out of my back door, honey? But see, those are problems. Then I go to Chinese restaurant, pling, ting, tang, tong, tong, ting. So we can't integrate.
Yeah.
We ain't gonna never have no peace. The culture, the nature's different. I don't hate you. We can eat in your restaurant. We want to marry your women. We got your women now. It ain't nothing we can't do today. But these things the dog got. I see dogs on television eating out the same plate with white people. I see dogs in the buses, and they do everything with the dogs. So I ain't getting nothing the dog ain't got. So really, ain't nothing in this integration. I need some land. I need some jobs. My people need jobs. We need something so we can build and do for ourselves, and we must have some land. 40 million people. You know, it's a lot of Negroes just in New York and Cleveland, Baltimore, Washington, California. It's a lot of black. Ooh, that's a whole nation. 40 million, man. They don't tell you the truth about that. They want us to stop having babies. They give them birth control. They're paying black women not to have babies now.
It's 40 million, not 20 million?
Yeah, they're paying black women not to have babies now. They got all kind of plans to stop our race. So when we know all of this,
getting into birth
so now a man with my knowledge, what can you tell a man like me now? What's your suggestion? Ask your question. Okay, you talking to me, not a dumb Negro or pork chop eater, don't know the truth. I'm free now. I woke up. Now, what are you going to tell me now? I done gave you my solution, some land of my own, doing something for myself like you, England and America do. Now, I know you're not against the black man. I know you're not against me having my land, are you? I know you English the ruled and slaved forever for a long time. But do you still today don't want me to have my own country and build for myself and govern myself? Would you think that's bad if we thought like that? What's your solution to my problem? 1974, then you all just, some white man just flew from New York to England in an hour, less than 2 hours. You all are so progressive. You're walking around on other planets. Now, today, I'm intelligent too now. What's your suggestion? What should be my movement? Integrate?
Yeah, equal rights in a mixed society.
In this society, where you still own the government, you still own the train station, the railroad plant, the lecture plant, these television cameras, you still make all the food, you control everything, and I'm like a leech on a dog's back. All I can do is just wait for you. I can't do nothing for myself. Integrating it in your society don't mean I'm doing nothing for myself. You doing it all. I want to do something for myself. I'm tired of depending on you. You might get broke one day. Your stores might close. Your gas pumps might cut off again. I'm relying on you now. Can I have my own land and country?
Well, you've got your own freedom here, for instance. I know you're luckier than many black people in America, but you're your own
boss.
I'm
speaking for my nation.
See, I know, I appreciate
it. If I was
that.
Representing just me, I wouldn't be talking like this, because I got it made. I'm talking for my brothers who's out there.
But I just don't see how, Mohammed. I don't see how you can slice up America into bits and get all the whites in one area and all the blacks in another.
Then we leave, then. We leave.
But they'd miss you.
I know it.
One last question. At the end of your life, whether it was Allah who was saying it, Elijah Muhammad, or whether it was something that someone wrote about you after you'd gone, what's the thing you would most like people to say about your life? He was a great champion, or what? What would you like people to think about you when you've gone?
I'd like for them to say he took a few cups of love. He took one tablespoon of patience, one teaspoon of generosity. One pint of kindness. He took one quart of laughter, one pinch of concern, and then he mixed willingness with happiness. He added lots of faith, and he stirred it up well. Then he spread it over a span of a lifetime, and he served it to each and every deserving person he met.
Muhammad Ali, thank you very much.
The class of the man born Cassius Marcellus Clay in 1942 in Louisville, Kentucky, of course, changed his name in 1964 to Muhammad Ali, and the rest is history. Wow, what can I say? Every time I listen to Ali, you get goosebumps because, you know, I spent a lot of time around him. I was fortunate enough to be sort of his partner and got to be his bodyguard for a tour through China. And, of course, I was his runner. I remember the first time, this is how I got tight with Muhammad Ali. I'm starving in China. We're the first trip to China in 1993, February 1993. We're doing a fight called The Brawl at the Wall. I'm part of the TV crew. We're going to do this first television broadcast from the People's Republic of China. The Brawl at the Wall. This arena is filled to capacity, the whole nine yards. Muhammad Ali's there. All the Chinese communist leaders are there, okay? So we're going to have a blast. We're going to have a great time. So, but in the lead up to that, we didn't eat much because they got us some cooks. These Chinese cooks are trying to cook American food, and they didn't know how to do it. Like the scrambled eggs were watery, and there was runny water on top of the scrambled eggs, and they cooked bacon, and Muhammad is a Muslim, so he didn't eat bacon and things like that. So we had some dietary issues, and Ali lost, I think he lost 17 pounds. I lost close to 10 pounds. So in a week and a half we were there. In a week and a half, I kid you not. So one day I'm starving and I say to myself, you know, I'm going to go to McDonald's. I'm not a McDonald's guy, folks. If you see me going to McDonald's, it's usually buying breakfast for somebody else or buying my homeless guy something. So I don't do a whole lot of McDonald's. But in Beijing, I couldn't wait to get to McDonald's. So I'm walking through the hotel lobby and I see Lonnie Ali, Veronica. Of course, Veronica was his prior wife. Lonnie Ali was his wife, of course, the widow of Muhammad Ali now. She goes, "Hi, Pedro, how are you?" And she was very pleasant. I said, "Mrs. Ali, call me Lonnie, call me Lonnie." "Yes, Mrs. Ali, call me." In other words, just like Lenny Williams' wife, she tells me, "Call me Debbie." I call her Mrs. Williams. This is the way it is. So Lonnie Ali, I said to her, she goes, "Well, Pedro, where are you going? What are you up to?" I said, "I'm going to McDonald's." "You're going to McDonald's? Really?" It was like, "There's a McDonald's here?" "Yeah, yeah, yeah." "Well, can you get Muhammad a burger?" I said, "Can I get him a burger? I'll bring him the whole story. What do you want?" So anyway, she told me like a quarter pounder with cheese. So I think I got him like a quarter pounder with cheese, a couple quarter pounders with cheese, a couple of Big Macs. I bought him like five or six hamburgers. Let's do them all in a bag, chicken sandwiches. Just bring them back to him, okay? So that sort of got me close to Ali. And Ali, I mean, he had taken a liking to me on the flight over from San Francisco to Beijing the first time. In other words, he took me up from, I was sitting in coach, and he took me from coach up to where he was sleeping in the executive suite. He gave me my own bed so I can go to sleep and this and that. So he had taken a liking to me because of the fact that Harold Smith told him in San Francisco when we first met, he said, "This young man is like my son, Muhammad. He's like my son." And Ali put his hand on my shoulder, and things were never quite the same after that. Just weren't, you know. But when you look at at what he's done for this world. I mean, you know, it wasn't just boxing. I mean, you heard him. He's talking about different things. I mean, he's got some wild ideas and some awful outlandish ideas that were from 35 and 40 years ago. But, you know, some of that stuff still rings true. Some of it still rings true. Bottom line is Muhammad Ali was truly the greatest of all time. Speaking of boxing, boxing schedules, get this. I mentioned the People's Republic of China a little bit earlier, right, didn't I? Of course, we did the first boxing card there ever since 1949. That's when Mao Zedong, the communist government, shut down boxing in 1949. So we came back in 1993. Pedro and his crew, Harold Smith and everybody, went to Beijing, China, through this fantastic card. But now, boxing is sort of like the norm in China. So on the 30th of August, from the Olympic Sports Center in Guangzhou, we've got Kan Zhang versus Yelan Wan, and there are two chicks in the main event at super bantamweight. I kid you not, in the main event here at a boxing card in China. So women in the main event. That's pretty cool. Then we go to the 31st. We go to Uzbekistan. Of course, that's going to be a good fight. You got a couple of guys there that are locals. They'll sell some tickets. That's what you want to do. This boxing is all about local guys. You can sell a few tickets. You can build a guy up, see if he can fight or not. You really don't know in the preliminary days because, you know, you put him in there with guys like me and guys like Cuddy that you can beat up, and then you come to that test in the road, that market, that fork in the road, and we'll see what happens at that point in time when you get to that fork in the road and see if you can fight. So with the 31st, we go back to Tokyo, Japan. Of course, that's going to be the Shinju Face Arena, and got a couple of eight-rounders, I think, in the main event there. So it's international. We go to Yorkshire, the United Kingdom. They're going to go the 2nd of September, of course, with Philip Bowes on top against Akeem Any Brown. So what I'm trying to tell you, boxing is all back to Japan. So we're cool on the 3rd. Boxing's all over the world. Back to Russia on September the 3rd as well. So boxing is more international than it's ever been. It just is. I mean, boxing, big fights used to take place here in the United States. It was always the U.S. It was always the U.S. It was always the U.S. People would want to come here and fight to make the money. Now they can make the money fighting in other places because of pay-per-view and television rights. So, people say to me, why don't we have the super fights? I think we're having the super fights. I think that Joshua and Fury will end up doing their thing eventually, and I'm hoping that Tyson Fury takes care of that because I think Anthony Joshua, although the 2012 Olympic gold medalist, was built up heavily on this show after he won the gold medal and through his rise in the professional ranks. But once he got beat by that 200 and that the big fat guy. Once he got beat by the big fat guy. And then he had to go 12 rounds with the big fat guy. The fatter guy. In other words, Andy Ruiz was fat the first time, like 265 pounds. And then he came in the second fight, like 284. And they told me that he arrived in camp at 320 pounds. Imagine that. You're the heavyweight champion of the world, and you gain 50 pounds in between fights. What motivates guys to do that? Buster Douglas did the same thing. I was with Buster in March or April of 1990 after he beat Mike Tyson. We're together in Columbus, Ohio, and he had like 5 meals in a day. I kid you not. They were catering barbecue food for us from his trainer, Dave McCauley. They were bringing in ribs from his barbecue place that was catered in for lunch. I kid you not. And that wasn't our lunch. That was just a snack. So I don't know what motivates these guys to get fat, get out of shape, get unmotivated when you're going to fight for the biggest day of your life. I can't believe it. Andy Ruiz, of course, he had his cocaine issues. Want to deny it, but I saw that little clip on YouTube, man. That was, if that wasn't Colombian dust, it was white powder. What are you putting white powder out in front of you for if it ain't Colombian dust, huh? Bottom line is, you're tuned to Ring Talk Live World. Of course, this is my buddy Lenny Williams, back with Tower of Power in 1973. This time it's real! I know someday that we could happen in a special way. I wish I may, I wish I might make you my all-star shining bright. I know I can feel it. This time it's real!
Now more Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
You know that fight card I told you about September 3rd in Thursday in Russia? It's got 30 fights on it. 30 fights. Good Lord. I remember in Vegas when Don King would throw a card, he'd have like 16, 17 fights. They'd have to have two sets of officials. I kid you not, because the fights were so long. We started like at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. We end like 10:30 at night. I kid you not, 8.5 hours of boxing. You got to have more than one set of judges. Back in the day, he ran it. Talk about DK. And speaking of DK, celebrated birthday number 89 this week. I tried to call him on the phone. He didn't pick up.
Something I missed a couple of weeks ago, and I want to bring this up now, the passing of Scott Flat Top Pope. He was the editor of FightNews.com. He was a boxing character, there's no doubt about it. He was a credit to Fight News. He was a credit to boxing. He was a pretty good guy, a fun guy to be around. We didn't always agree as far as our boxing politics were concerned, but Flat Top Pope passed away a couple of weeks ago. They told me it was a heart attack. Condolences to him and his family, no doubt about that. Speaking of condolences, Greg Doxy, of course, he passed away earlier this week. He's a Mission District icon here as far as a musician's concerned in San Francisco. We had a service for him, a little celebration party in Golden Gate Park yesterday, which was disappointing about that was it wasn't a turnout. I mean, it was like lots of people there, a couple hundred people, but like a third of the people weren't wearing masks, and they were passing around. You know, good Lord, man, people just not being safe. I just don't know what to say. The bottom line is he must stay safe. September 6th, Fox comes back. Of course, Fox has been doing a lot of fights of late. Of course, they got that contract with Al Haymon, a premier boxing champion. On top in this main event on the 6th of September is going to be Yordi Ugas, a Cuban, taking on Abel Ramos in a battle for the WBA welterweight title. I thought they had like 5 or 6 champions at 147 pounds, the WBA alone, not the other sanctioned parties, just the World of Bunko and Anarchy alone. The co-feature is going to be Rancis Bartholomew versus Alberto Puello for the WBA Interim Super Lightweight Championship. Of course, September the 6th, check it out, Fox TV. You are tuned to Ring Talk, live worldwide. You're inside looking to the world of boxing and MMA. Of course, my name is Pedro Fernandez. We come to you each and every Saturday and Sunday at 11 a.m. Pacific time, live on Sports Byline. Saturday, of course, we come to you for an hour. Sunday, we come to you for 2 hours. We're also heard live on Sports Byline, iHeartRadio, Sirius XM Satellite Radio, Channel 211, and a plethora of other internet platforms. But the bottom line is you can always catch the Ring Talk Live Worldwide podcast at anchor.com. Just look for Ring Talk Live Worldwide at anchor.com. Check out all the latest shows. You are tuned to Ring Talk, the longest running fight show in history. 35, make that 36. No, make that 37 plus years now. And the bottom line is our executive producer is the one, the only, Scott Cuddy. I thank him for his greatness. Until next time, peace, love, and a ton of respect from the Ring Talk crew.
That's where I keep you, friend. Memories give me the strength I need to proceed. Strength I need to believe.